Let's begin trying to recreate a true-to-life situation that I know used to be true in my childhood. It goes like this. A child says to his mother, "Oh, do we have to?" "Yes," mom says. "But why?" "Because I said so." Have you heard that before? Maybe not, but maybe you did. "Because I said so." Parents have been known to say that to their younger children in particular as part of their God-given authority at home. Teachers might say the same thing to their students as part of their authority in the classroom. Coaches could do a similar thing when they take charge of a team. School administrators, like the president, have to make a decision, and that decision will stand because they get to say so as the people in charge. Now, maybe you've wondered, what if the person in charge makes a mistake? Isn't that bound to happen? Since parents, teachers, administrators, government officials are prone to not getting it right all the time and making mistakes. That's okay. We can learn to live with it, even accepting the brunt of the consequences as we recognize a much greater authority in charge at work. Isn't it good to know that when God takes charge, there won't be any mistakes? When God says so, it will be better than right. It will be very good for us. Today we hear the Lord's powerful yet comforting declaration about himself, reading selected verses, Isaiah 45, starting at verse 18. "For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, 'Seek me in vain.' I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." So what qualifies God to be in charge? We could point to his perfection, I suppose, but verse 18 brings up the matter of creation. The God in charge of everything is the God who made everything. As the creator, he stands out as a master designer who knows how it all fits together and works together, even down to the tiniest details. When he says so in creation, it actually happens. On day one, he said, "Let there be light." And that natural light that we have on this day and tomorrow came into being. That's impressive. Something you and I can't replicate, and yet we depend on him. Likewise, when the Creator says it, life happens at all levels. Microscopic, plant and animal, human. And as a result of it all, we have blessings coming our way, good things for you and me, each day as we live under him, the only God, the one who made all things and still controls them. What else qualifies God to be in charge? Verse 19 says, "I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right." When God says so in the form of commands to us, requirements of us. He speaks uniquely as the only one holy, morally perfect. That inevitably means a confrontation. Conflict, putting you and me at odds with Him. Think it through. God says, live your life this way, but we go our own way. God has His all-important say-so, but we want ours. We rebel. And the Lord has to come back to tell us, each one of us, you're wrong. You have sinned. And don't forget, the righteous judgment of death attached for, you know the passage, the wages of sin is death. At that point, we are in the middle of a trial with God as the judge with a very final say-so. And we as defendants can only say to Him, you're right, Lord. I am guilty. But then comes a surprising turnaround. God long ago decided to do something about our sin problem. What we hear in verse 21. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. He decreed our salvation through His Son. He said it would be so in the Old Testament. And we can trace how He made it so in the New Testament. Every prophecy fulfilled. Jesus coming as announced. He lived that required perfect life and made it count as our righteous standing with God. He became the sacrifice, His death on the cross as the completely satisfying payment to God for every sin that we would commit. Then, from day to day, as the risen Lord, He has the ultimate say-so to grant full and free forgiveness and to assure you God's acceptance of you as your Father. Life after death. Heaven instead of hell. When God says so in the gospel, it's more than a dose of good news. He takes charge of our course in this world so that we avoid the horrible crash. And we belong to Him forever by faith, clinging to His every word. When God says so in the Bible, the ears of that faith perk up, and we learn to reply something like this. Yes, Lord, I agree. You're absolutely right. Although I can't explain it very well. Not at this time. Yes, Lord, I repent. Please forgive me again, for Jesus' sake. I rejoice, Lord, in the salvation You have given to us. Let it be so, Lord, Your will for us, according to Your good and gracious say-so, assured to us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's join in the close of our worship singing hymn 775, Thy Strong Word, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4 of hymn 775.